Cleopatra and whoever. Who, Cleopatra? No. Romeo and Juliet? Not even close.
No?
No. Uh-uh.
How?
Elizabeth Taylor and her five husbands? Not even close.
That's funny that you say Elizabeth Taylor, because didn't she actually play Cleopatra?
She did. Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. So, let's just start.
Right now?
Yeah. Let's go. All right. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
We are about how many drinks in?
I don't know. I lost track.
So, they have these bottles of wine that I've been buying in Switzerland. Okay, Switzerland. Let's talk about Switzerland.
let's talk about Switzerland's wine.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. So there's like vineyards everywhere, like so many grapes that we see growing all over the place. And Switzerland actually doesn't export their wine anywhere. It's all for domestic use only. What I read is only 1% of Switzerland wine actually gets exported. So anywhere else in the world, it's practically impossible to find a Switzerland wine. Do you know why that is, Robert?
Because they consume all the wine themselves.
No, that's not why.
Because wait. Because they don't like everybody else. They no. only want to feed their citizens first.
No, that's not it either.
Because it's too delicious for anybody else.
No.
It is. I don't even like wine. And the wine you got the other day, that was from Switzerland, that white wine.
Yeah.
That was fucking delicious.
Yes, their wine is delicious. But the reason why it doesn't get exported and sold internationally is because it costs so much to make the wine here. I don't know why the cost is more expensive.
Probably because
than
of
other
all the cold weather, I would think. They probably lose a lot of it.
Probably. So anyway, it's really expensive to make it here. It's really expensive to buy it even here. So it would be even more expensive to buy it internationally. And most of it does actually get consumed. The article that I was reading earlier today said that years ago, I don't remember, until the early 90s, they actually had an overabundance of wine and the government would purchase it and it was kept in swimming pools.
Like out of the bottles?
Yeah, it was like, no, just like wine kept in, like, no, just like, yes, like a big, like, swimming pool full of wine. Because
so I could go to a pool and swim in wine.
I don't know if that was like an actual offering at that time, but it did actually exist in swimming pools.
It doesn't sound very sanitary.
No, but the reason why they did that is because, you know, I don't know. I'm just reading between the lines, but I think the government was just trying to make sure that people that were growing grapes and making wine were still able to make a living. So I think they were I think it was basically like a government subsidy where they were buying all this wine. But then in the early 90s, they enacted some legislation to where wine had to be at like a certain, like they made standards for the wine because the wine before that was getting made was just like cheap, shitty wine. But then they're like, hey, no, if you're going to make wine, make it good wine.
Good wine.
And so then they started making good wine. And then all of the wine actually ended up being sold and consumed. And so now all of these vineyards make the wine. It gets consumed. A big customer is like all of the resorts that are in Switzerland for like all the big ski resorts.
I can see that. Yeah.
Anyway.
So what else?
That is your history lesson for today.
So tell everybody where we're at right now.
We are in Laysen.
Which is basically a resort winter town. In the 2020 Winter Olympics, I believe they did cross-country skiing here and another ski event here, which when we went on a hike the other day, we walked past the ski lift and it had the 2020 Winter Olympics logo on there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a humongous town. The population is only 3,500 and it's basically just a resort town. It has about 8 restaurants and a couple of little bakeries and has like 7 or 8 hotels and basically is just known for skiing. Mm-hmm. And it's got a toboggan course instead of a water slide. It has a toboggan slide.
Mm-hmm. And we're here in the summertime, so obviously we're not here during like peak season. We got in 2 days ago, and we got our room, and I went a little Karen-ish whenever I saw the room
that we were in. Yeah, I wasn't very happy about it either.
Yeah, so we're in a room. Right now, actually, we're laying in this room, both of our feet propped up in the air because we're both swollen.
Lena gave me a swollen foot.
Yeah, like, I don't fucking know why my feet are so damn swollen this whole time. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. They're getting better. But the room that we're staying in, it's like, it feels like a Boy Scout camp.
Lodge. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4 beds.
No, we've got actually 5 beds because you're laying on a bed and I'm laying on a bed right next to each other, but there's still 2 separate beds. Okay, that's true.
We got 5 beds.
Yeah, we've got 5 beds.
It's a set of bunk beds. So one of them is actually a bunk bed. The other one's a bunk bed with a bottom bunk faces out, which is what we're laying on right now. It's two twin beds pushed together that always separate at night, so I can't cuddle with Lena at night because when I try to roll over, I fall into the pit of misery.
Yeah, and so whenever I got here and we saw, or when we got here and I saw these rooms, I was like, are there not any grown-up rooms?
She sent me to the office.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not acceptable.
I
cannot do this, you guys. God, I'm so fucking bougie, and I'm realizing it on this vacation, is that I'm just so over-the-top bougie sometimes. Like, and I just need to, like, lower my standards a little bit, because this room is perfectly fucking fine. Yeah. I mean, like, we've been, so there's no air conditioning in this hotel, because they're, doesn't need to be like it doesn't
during the day. If you were in here during the day, it's a little stuffy, but at night it gets cold because it gets down to the 60s.
Yeah, but they've got this big huge window that you can open, and it brings in plenty of air. And I have honestly gotten, I mean, Rob's had a different experience, but I've gotten the best sleep I've had in a really long time.
I haven't been able to sleep
because the window's open, it's fresh air, and I don't know, I just like,
it does have a 20-inch screen TV.
Rob, nobody cares about the TV at the hotels that we stay at because we're not watching TV.
But sometimes I watch TV, and I can't because the TV's so small.
Anyway, you can probably tell that I've had a few drinks, but let's talk about Pringles, okay?
Switch.
Yeah.
How'd you go to Pringles? So Swiss, well, not just Switzerland, Paris had the same flavor.
Yeah, so I need to go back to Paris. So Paris, we noticed that they had some strange flavors that we'd never seen before of Pringles. And then we got to a rest stop in Switzerland, and same thing. There were like all these flavors of Pringles. So I took some pictures, and we actually bought some. So we bought the classic paprika flavor, which are really good. I like them very much.
They're okay.
Rob thinks they're fine, but I think they're great. There's one called Emmental, which is like some sort of cheese. Emmental.
Swiss love their cheese, too.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, they do. Then there's one called Texas Barbecue Sauce. Texas BBQ Sauce.
That's probably just regular.
They're just like regular barbecue Pringles.
But they got to put Texas on there.
That's funny.
To help them sell.
Anyway, those are the funny flavors that I saw.
So, what do you think about this little town?
I love it. I love it here. It's so, I mean, like, it's exactly what I would expect for a little Swiss town
to be. So did I say the population already?
I don't remember.
So the population, it said, was 3,500, but I don't think that's correct. I think most of the people, maybe they're in the wintertime, but I think it might be 2,000 at the most.
It's just such a cool town. I mean, we feel very comfortable letting the kids go off on their own here. It's not like we're in a group of 270 motherfuckers.
You can see
there
snow
are 270 people in our group, which is insane.
It's the middle of June. You can still see snow on the mountains.
Yeah, but this town is like, it feels very safe.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because it's just like,
you know, they don't have a police department.
They don't?
No. They don't have a police department.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, how often do you think they have incidents where police need to be called?
People still drive crazy, but they don't have a police department.
Yeah. Anyway, the weather is amazing. We got here, I mean, it's been in the 60s and 70s.
We got here Monday.
Yeah.
Wait, what's today? We got here Sunday. We got here on Father's Day.
Yeah. So it's just been awesome. I was just reading through some of my notes that I made. So we got here
Sunday.
Sorry. We didn't do hardly anything. We did go down to the bar, met some of the best bartenders we've ever had.
That don't work for tips either.
Yeah, they don't even work for tips.
That's what's so cool about
Europe.
They
do have a tip built into the bill. It's a small tip, like 13% or something like that. But yeah, they don't like get any extra money because there isn't even an option when you pay. There's no option to give a tip over and above whatever they've already added to your
bill. Yeah, like in America, they always, even if you go to the Starbucks, they want a tip. Here, you just swipe your card and they say thank you and you're done.
Yeah. Oh, but wait, before we went to the bar, we did our little hike up the mountain.
Yeah, we went up. That's when we went past the ski slope for the Olympics.
Yeah, so two of the directors, because we're here with a music group, so two of the music directors, they were going to scope out the hiking trail because the next morning they were going to go with the kids, like super, super early, so they wanted to make sure they knew where it was.
I might get up super early to go fucking walking.
And so we went with them like early, early evening when it was still light outside, and we went up the mountain. And, oh my God, the views are amazing. Like, these are the most amazing views I've ever seen.
Because there's houses, like, you'll be walking and there's a house in the side of the mountain. Then there's apartments, then there's a cabin, then there's a house. Just spread out everywhere. It's really awesome. Cows roaming around.
Yeah, and the cows, they all wear these little cowbells.
Yeah.
That are different than apparently than the ones in America from what I've read.
The cowbells are?
Yeah. The cowbells are different. And they...
We need more cowbells.
Shut up.
We do. We need more cowbells.
Yeah. So you can hear when we were up on the mountain, you could just hear the cowbells. And it's like, oh, there must be cows coming. So that was pretty interesting. And then that night we went to the bar. Most friendly bartenders ever, Sylvester and Jordan.
Them dudes are awesome.
They were awesome. So we're in the part of Switzerland where they speak French. And so Sylvester and Jordan speak French.
They're both from France.
Yeah, they were both from France.
They came to Sweden because Sweden pays double what France pays.
Yeah. So doing the same type of work, they would make half of what they make in Sweden in France. So it was just, they were great. It was really funny though, because they were like taking shots like while, you know, they're working.
While they're working, yeah.
And I was like, what are you guys drinking? And Sylvester, who speaks better English out of the two of them, he was like, oh, it's iced tea. I was like, you liar. I'm like, how do you say a liar?
Jordan speaks better English.
How do you say a liar in French? No. Sylvester speaks better English.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Sylvester.
I don't hear Sylvester yet.
Yeah, Sylvester, the one with the beard. He speaks better English. Anyway, they were taking shots of amaretto, which I thought was odd. I've never heard of that as a shot type drink.
Yeah, no, because it's a liqueur.
Yeah. But anyway, they were taking shots of that.
So I said, oh, have you ever heard of a Godfather? And they said no. So I showed them how to make a Godfather, which is basically amaretto and scotch. Then they made us all one. They did as a shot. So then they gave us those for free. And then they gave us two more drinks after that for free. And they closed at 10. And they actually didn't really... So at like 10:15, they said, hey, we're taking a break. We'll be back later. And about 10:30, they came back. And they said, you guys want another drink? We got another drink for free. So they stayed open until 10:30, even though they were supposed to close at 10.
Yeah. So it was great. And then we went to sleep. Rob is not a fan of the beds that we've got here at this hotel.
It's sleeping on a wooden thing with the mattresses. I don't know what it is. It reminds me of when I was in camp.
Yeah, I mean, these rooms do feel like summer camp, but I've actually grown to like it because having the window open, like, I love the fresh air, and I'm actually sleeping great.
The sun comes up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's true. This is ridiculous.
It does. It comes up
Jesus so... Christ, and then you can hear all the cars driving down the road.
Yeah, it comes up so early in the morning. But I slept so well. Like, we got a rain that first night. I slept. It was amazing.
It rained last night, too.
Oh, did it? I slept through it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we woke up the next morning. I slept through breakfast. I didn't wake up early enough, so I went to a little cafe here in town. It's just, and then I walked around the town, and it's just beautiful. I took a lot of pictures. We did a little bit of shopping, and then we hopped on the coach, and we went to Castillo de Chillon. It's a castle that dates back to at least the 13th century.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
It's on Lake Geneva.
Yes. And Lake Geneva is gorgeous. So we walked, after the tour that we did at the castle, we walked, it was about 45 minutes along Lake Geneva to the Freddie Mercury statue.
How do you pronounce it? Monterey?
Montreux, Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. And going back to the lake, the water is so clear that when it comes up to the land, you can see through it.
Yeah.
If most lakes are dirty.
Not dirty at all. I mean, like,
and
it's super clear.
It's across from Evian, France, which is where you get Evian water from.
Yeah.
So.
And one of the really cool things here is there are, like, these fountains everywhere that you can just fill your water bottle up with.
And they're just running. Yeah, it comes from the mountains.
Yeah, it comes directly from the mountains. You just fill up your bottle, and it's really good water.
There's two in this town.
Yeah, it's awesome. Let's see. So, in Montreux, we had lunch at an Italian place.
Oh, God. We ordered spaghetti carbonara, which is like a creamy sauce with ham and bacon, and it had like big chunks of ham in it, nice two big slices of the bacon, and then they brought out some olive oil, which was infused with like red peppers, jalapeno peppers, garlic, and I don't know what else, but that was like just the best olive oil and the best pasta I ever had in Switzerland, of mm-hmm. all places.
Yeah. It was delicious. We did a little bit of shopping there too, and then we got back on the bus. We came back over to our hotel, and then we got ready to go over to the concert where the kids played indoors for the first time, and they were able to play all as one band because most of the places that they, or the last two places at least that they played so far, haven't been big enough to hold the whole band, but this time they got to play as a whole band.
And they played at a place called the American School, which is basically where rich people send their kids from all over the world to learn to be taught in English.
Yeah, it's like $100,000 a year.
Well, it's 120 francs for the first year, and
120,000 francs.
Francs, yes, 120,000 francs for the first year. And somebody found the wall of all the graduates, and the graduates are from, like, China, Iran, Pakistan, Spain, places where they don't really hear, in Switzerland, France, and they just got people from all over the world that go to that school and graduate. They usually have about 300 students every year, so I don't know why anybody would want to be taught American, but anyway, they send them here to supposedly it's a really good school.
Yeah. So they played there, and then we went back to the hotel
for dinner.
That
was after dinner.
No, we had dinner before. Oh, I mean, I actually slept through dinner that night because I was so tired. I was like, I'm gonna skip dinner.
I went to the bar and had some drinks.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do at a hotel. We have drinks.
Yeah, it's vacation.
And then.
Drinking time.
We got up this morning and went to Zermatt.
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 Well, actually, we drove to Tosh, and then from there we took a train up the mountain
to Zermatt.
To Zermatt.
That's the only way you can get there.
Yeah, you can't get there any other way. And then from Zermatt, we took the cog train called Seniga up to, like, even further up the mountain to where we got to see the Matterhorn.
But that goes inside the... So it's basically like a train or a subway inside the mountain that takes you to the top. So you can be... Then you're kind of at the base of the Matterhorn.
Yes.
And they have, like, a little cafe up there that sells beer, wine, buffet, food. Man, but that was just, like, breathtaking views up there.
Yeah, it was amazing. Unfortunately, there was some cloud cover, so we didn't get to see, like, the very, very peak of the Matterhorn. But that's okay. I mean, it was still gorgeous. And we took a group photo of our entire 270-person group that we've been traveling with. And the picture is just, like...
humongous.
Oh my god, it's overwhelming, like, to see everybody all in one picture. I've just been amazed that we've got this group of 270 people.
Six buses.
Yeah, six full buses that are traveling together, and it's actually gone relatively smoothly. I mean, some of the stuff definitely could have been planned a little bit better, because I don't think the people that are planning it, like, realized the impact that 270 people would have, like, descending on these places all at one time. But I mean, like, for the most part, it's gone really, really smoothly. And,
I think we've had one person lose their passport. They got a new one in 4 hours. We had another person lose their wallet, which was turned in to us. And then somebody else found somebody's passport in a bathroom stall.
Yeah.
So three incidents out of 270, and they were all students. So we're traveling with people from 13 to 17.
Yeah. So there's some middle schoolers. They're mostly high schoolers, but there are definitely some middle schoolers with us. And, I mean, and then parents too. And then of course the staff who are like the chaperones and stuff. So it's been so good. And I really think that the reason why it's gone so smoothly is because these are band kids and these are band directors that are mostly the staff that is, like, you know, keeping up, you know, like, the ones that are, like, directing everyone. And I think that what they've learned in band has helped with this trip to go so smoothly.
Yeah, because they're used to being in a certain place at a certain time.
Yeah, because they're used to, like, having to show up at a certain place at a certain time, do a certain thing, follow directions, listen. You know, I think they're all trained to, like, have those skills. And I think had we gone with just some random group of teenagers,
it would have been terrible.
Yeah, I don't think it would have gone nearly as well.
So talk about Zermatt, the city. Where the cars are basically just a little bit oversized golf carts. They don't really have any full size vehicles up there because the streets are so small. What do you think of that?
I loved it. It was just beautiful.
So that's more of a resort town than we're at now, because everywhere you looked was hotels. It was basically hotels, restaurants, shopping.
Yeah, and they've got those little cars that Rob was talking about that just, like, taxi people from place to place. It was just a really cool town. Very good place for shopping. They had tons and tons and tons of souvenirs that you could buy. It was just really a really cool little town. And
it was what you would picture a small town in Switzerland to be like. Just rows and rows of older looking buildings, small streets, and just people everywhere. It was just people everywhere, and lots of shopping, lots of restaurants, people on bikes, kids on scooters. I like that city a lot.
Yeah, it was really pretty. And then we also got to see the river as we were driving up. And
it had a weird color water.
It was like
grayish.
I know. I need to Google, like, why the color is what it is.
But on the way on the train, from one city to Zermatt, the mountains had like every it seemed like every mile, waterfalls of the water coming from. I was told they're coming from inside the mountain.
They're so beautiful.
And the water is like just crystal clear. And you can see it running all the way down the mountain, which runs into this river. And the river is basically white water because it's rushing so hard that it's just rapids everywhere. But it's got like this weird grayish color, and nobody seems to know why.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we need to just Google it. I'm sure somebody knows why. But anyway, yeah, that was amazing. And then it's really interesting, the difference between the people here and the town that we're staying in, Laysan, it is a predominantly like French speaking place. You know, and of course France, where we just came from, was French speaking, but like the cultures are so totally different, like totally different. The people here are so friendly and so nice. Whereas in France, they were, you know, just more like, I wouldn't say rude, but just more matter of fact. And then we went to Zermatt, but that's more of a German-speaking town. Because, like, in Switzerland, like, people speak, you know, French or German, like, depending on what the area is. And so that was more of a German-speaking place and more of a German vibe. So that was interesting. And then tonight, for dinner, we had dinner at the hotel, but they had it, like, catered to be I'm probably going to butcher this pronunciation, but it was like a traditional raclette dinner.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know what that was, but it was really good. Like, a lot of the dinners that we've gotten on this tour have not been that great.
So it's not like fondue where you dip it in. They put the a big block of cheese under a fire, and you bring, it was potatoes or meat, and you take it to them, and then they scrape the cheese onto it so it's thicker, and then it gets cold really fast, so it's harder. With fondue, it stays melted when you dip it in.
Yeah, that's the difference. We thought it was going to be like a fondue, where there's like a pot where you dip, you know, your stuff into it, but this is different. So there's like boiled potatoes, so you put your boiled potatoes on the plate. And then the cheese, it looked to me like, so apparently it was Swiss cheese, but it looked like a block of Parmesan cheese. I've only seen blocks of cheese like this, like Parmesan, before. They're like the round blocks, but apparently it was Swiss cheese. And so there's like, they have these machines where they heat, so picture a round block of cheese, like a round thing of cheese cut in half, and then the machine, like, they lay the cheese on the machine to where the exposed side that you just cut open is getting heated up and melted and like scorched a little bit, and then once it gets to a certain level of heatedness, then they just pull the whole block of cheese off and scrape off that melted, scorched part onto your plate over the potatoes. And it was delicious. It wasn't what I was expecting, for sure.
No, I wasn't either, but it wasn't.
It was delicious.
That's the best dinner we've had since we've been here.
It was
very filling.
It's definitely the best dinner we've had since we've been on this tour, like, that's been provided by the tour.
Yeah.
I mean, we have had probably better meals at restaurants that we've gone to on our own, but like, it was cool. And then they had somebody come in and play the accordion, and so that was kind of nice too.
Which I thought accordion was Tejano music, but apparently it has ties to this area. I didn't know.
There's
that.
A lot of like German accordion players.
Yeah. That's what's interesting about being with kids in band, because I brought that up and she's like, no, that's got this kind of ties. I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, we're with all these band nerds and they're like very knowledgeable about music.
Then after dinner, we went back to our bar with our favorite bartenders.
Yeah, they were back tonight. They weren't here last night, but they were here tonight.
And we learned about a new drink. We learned about the London
Mule.
Mule, yes.
Yeah, so Rob ordered a Moscow Mule, which he orders quite a bit. But then the bartender said, hey, do you know about a London Mule? And apparently a London Mule, instead of having vodka, has gin. And
it's actually pretty good.
It was better, I think. I mean, I like Moscow Mule's fine. But the London Mule is even better.
Yeah, I don't know if it was better, but it wasn't as... I don't really like gin.
Oh, I do. So that's why I liked it
better. The London Mule was actually pretty good. But also, while we were there, we met some people from London or from England.
Yes. She said it was like 20... I don't remember the name of the town.
I thought she said like Hamptonshire, like, or something. But
yeah, something like that. It was like 20 miles north of London. And we talked to them for like 15 or 20 minutes.
They were so friendly.
Oh, these ladies were amazing. I heard them talking next to me and I'm like, oh my God, I love your accent. And
that's my favorite accent of all time.
Yeah. Especially
when you use it.
And then we sat there and talked to them for a while and just learned about all of their travels. And, you know, they gave us tips on where we should go and what we should do. And
Pompeii.
Yes, Pompeii. Yeah, go see Pompeii.
If we go back to London, take the river tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was really nice. Really nice.
I mean, well, there were two of them, but one lady was like especially really, really nice.
She said she had like a 50-year-old son or something.
55.
I was like, man, you do not look that old. She looked old, but she didn't look that old.
Yeah, no, she did not look like she should. And it's got to be because of all the vacation. I asked her, I was like, so how many weeks per year would you say that you vacation? Usually, like, she said like 11 or 12.
Yeah, but she's also retired.
Yeah.
So.
But her advice to us was definitely travel as much as you possibly can. Yes,
which we want to do.
Because she's like, once you're like old
and you can't move around anymore.
Yeah, then you can't do it anymore.
You lose your brain.
So do it while you can.
Yeah, so you can remember.
I totally agree with that.
I have a joke.
No.
You want to hear a joke? If you're American when you go into the bathroom and you're American when you come out of the bathroom, what are you while you're in the bathroom?
European.
You son of a bitch.
I've read that one before. All right, guys. We'll be back soon with...
Oh, next stop is Australia.
No, Austria.
Why do I keep saying that?
He thought we were going to Sweden and not Switzerland. And now he thinks we're going to Australia. And not Austria.
Our next stop for a stayover is Austria. But we're going to stop in Liechtenstein for lunch tomorrow.
Yes.
So...
Yes, we are.
We'll come back in a few days and fill you in on our trip to Austria.
Yes, we will. Love you guys. Goodbye. Bye.